So I'm joined now by Dr. Jochen Weller from University College London. You're a lecturer at University College London, yes?
Yes, that's correct. Hello.
Now, your research interest is in this mysterious dark energy.
That's correct, yes. So,
tell us a little bit about this dark energy.
I got interested in that probably almost 10 years ago. That was sort of the first indication we had of that. And probably some of you have heard already that the universe is expanding. But about 10 years ago, it was found that the expansion is actually speeding up, so it gets faster and faster. And that was discovered by looking at imploding stars, so-called supernovae in the universe. And the advantage of these imploding stars or exploding stars are that you can see them to very large distances. And that allows astrophysicists to measure distances, and also by looking at the light of their host galaxies where these stars live, we can measure how fast they recede from us, and that allows us to draw a so-called Hubble diagram, which is mainly distance versus receding velocity. From these diagrams, we found that in the past, stuff was receding slower away from us, meaning today we are expanding actually faster than we would expect by the theories we had at that time. And so what I'm working on is sort of trying to think about models, how to describe that, but mainly think about ways how we can test these models with current and future observations. So I'm a bit on the interface between a theoretical physicist and an observer.
We've heard from other folk, including Professor Brian Schmidt from ANU, about the work on discovering that the universe is expanding faster and faster, this cosmic acceleration, and also using the supernovae as distance indicators. And he also mentioned that the theorists have been rather fruitful in coming up with lots of different ideas on what could be causing this increasing expansion. But he also mentioned, and others have also mentioned, that it's very difficult to choose between competing theories. So how do you work around that? How do you try and figure out how to test a theory?
Okay, so let me just first mention our, let's say, at least from an observer's point of view, the most favorite theory is called a cosmological constant. And that was, interestingly enough, a quantity Einstein introduced when he set up his theory of general relativity, which describes gravity on very large scales in the universe. And at the time Einstein wrote down his equations, he firmly believed the universe should be static and it should not expand. Now, at his first instance, he saw, oh God, my equations give me either that the universe is expanding or collapsing, depending on the amount of material, matter in the universe. And then he realized, oh, there is a more general mathematical formulation. I can put in this tiny constant, balance all the forces out, and the universe was static. But then Hubble came along and found out the universe is expanding, and Einstein is cited as, he said basically that introducing this cosmological constant was one of the greatest blunders he did in his research. But what this cosmological constant actually does for us today is that if it doesn't exactly compensate the matter, it can lead to accelerated expansion. Mm. Now, the problem theorists have with that, if we introduce this cosmological constant, by the name, it has the same value today as it has at the beginning of the universe. And physicists like to work with natural units, and if we think about what describes the initial conditions of the universe and look what the natural energy scales would be, this cosmological constant is 120 orders of magnitude too small. That means a 0.0, 120 zeros till the first digit comes, and that is far smaller than we can ever hope to explain. Mm. And that's when theorists branched out and looked for other models how to describe accelerated expansion. One theory is called is using what we learned about the initial conditions of the universe, is taking ideas from so-called inflation models. And what it uses is that the vacuum in the universe actually has an energy. This sounds very abstract, but if you postulate that, that can lead to accelerated expansion today. What observers look for in that context, these models, the way the universe expands is slightly different from the way the universe would expand if there's a cosmological constant, and these are signatures we are looking for.
What are these signatures exactly?
I mentioned before the redshift distance diagram, redshift meaning the receding velocity, and that is basically, if you plot that, sort of the distance versus this receding velocity, these are slightly different curves if there are different models of this stuff in the universe which leads to accelerated expansion, and we call this stuff dark energy, partly just to hide our embarrassment that we don't really know what it is.
So we had this problem with dark matter back, you know, in the early 90s. We knew that there was a large component of galaxies that we could not see. We tried looking for it. We haven't found it just yet, so we called it dark, and we went, oh, here's a bigger problem, dark energy.
Dark matter is actually, in that context, a similar problem, but I think it's a much better post-problem, because we know our particle physics friends tell us there are lots of fundamental particle physics theories which have a lot of matter particles which haven't been discovered yet by direct observation. So there are a lot of candidates. With dark energy, the story is completely different. We basically have no clue at the moment. And all these models are more or less made up ad hoc just to fit the data we have from observing the expansion of the universe. Now, I should say in this context, what are the possibilities which could explain accelerated expansion, albeit that's the only thing we have observed so far? There could be two other possibilities. So far, we only have talked there's some extra material in the universe which acts repelling on very vast distances. But there are two other possibilities which are a bit more controversial. One is that the universe is inhomogeneous, and we happen to live in a bubble which expands accelerated, but on global scales, there's no accelerated expansion.
So we're living in a special part of the universe.
That's right. But nobody so far has come up with a compelling theory why we live in these special conditions. And the third possibility is there's something wrong with Einstein equations on these large scales, and you have to modify it. Now, you have to be very careful when you do that, because Einstein's equations of general relativity have been tested really accurate within the solar system. So if you mess around with them, you better make sure you don't destroy things you have established already. But from theoretical grounds, these are the only three possibilities what could happen to explain that data. And they all have their positives and negative sides to them. Now, the big question for somebody like me is how can we think about experiments to distinguish between these different approaches?
Mm. And you mentioned that one distinction you could make, the different models that you're comparing have different curves, let's say, or different predictions on the redshift. How big are these differences?
That depends on various classes of models, but in percentage, they could be up to 50%. Now, the data currently gets good enough that these models are almost ruled out by current data, so we are not too keen in looking into these models anymore. But then there's a whole class of models which, for instance, these dark energy models, which behave entirely like a cosmological constant. So from that point of view, there would be never hope to distinguish it with that type of observations. But there's another type of observation I haven't really talked about yet. It's sort of an emerging probe. Astrophysicists call it weak lensing. And let me just briefly explain what that does. If we observe the light from a distant galaxy, the path of the light is actually bent by the intervening dark matter structure. Now, what happens is, like with a lens, if the galaxy has sort of an intrinsic shape, this shape is actually distorted by this lensing of the light by the intervening dark matter structure. And we can apply some sophisticated statistics by looking at millions of galaxies to find out how much mass in dark matter is there between us and these galaxies.
You point out there is that weak lensing is different in its result to strong gravitational lensing. I'm sure some people will have seen the images from Hubble where
you've got
a background galaxy stretched out into these very long stretched out images. Here you're talking about a relatively small effect.
That's correct, yes. So you wouldn't be able to use a single galaxy to measure this signal. As I said before, you have to average over millions of galaxies and then apply some sophisticated statistics, which is fairly well established, to find out what this distribution of the dark matter between us and these galaxies are. Mm-hmm. Now, if you have populations of galaxies at different distances, you can do something which is called tomography. So basically, you know, you have a population at a larger distance of source galaxies and look how their shapes are changed, how the light is changed, and you go to the next population and you basically get slices how the structures grow in the universe.
It's like looking at MRI scan
of
somebody's head.
That's right,
you get slices.
Exactly, yeah. And that allows you to compare with models of structure formation, and they are significantly different, for instance, if you modify gravity or have dark energy. So that is sort of, at the moment, an emerging probe, and there are satellite proposals on both sides of the Atlantic to look for these signatures. And the reasoning why you might need a satellite is because these signals are so faint, so the atmosphere is very disturbing on the Earth.
It's curious to note that we're using observations of one unknown component of the universe, namely dark matter, to tell us about another unknown component of the universe.
That is definitely a fair point. But let's say if we stay in the standard lore of dark matter, we know it has to interact gravitationally. So, and that is basic physics. We know how that behaves. And that is the main reason dark matter was introduced in the first place.
In some sense, we don't actually really care necessarily what the dark matter is actually made of. We know how it interacts with the universe. And
that's right. That's correct.
So what is the observation platform? What telescope, what instrumentation are we going to use in space, you mentioned, to make these observations?
For these types of observations, what we need is so-called wide imaging surveys, because you have to resolve the shapes of these galaxies fairly well in order to tickle out the statistical signature of the intervening dark matter distribution. What we also like is to push this to fairly large distances or high redshifts, and hence we need very sensitive instruments. These satellite observations, they will probably the earliest take place in 10 years. So in the meantime, there are a lot of ground-based instruments which will improve the current picture on that. For example, I'm involved in one thing, it's called the Dark Energy Survey, which is using a telescope in Chile, mm-hmm. and does an imaging survey there, and also gets the redshifts of the objects.
So the Dark Energy Survey, is it just simply one telescope? Is it one group?
It's a single telescope, yeah.
And it's observing from Chile now?
Well, this telescope is existing, but we are building a new camera to be put on that.
We look forward to it. And it's going to be operational roughly in
2009-10.
So presumably it must be better than the current state-of-the-art for wide-field surveys, because we know wide-field surveys do exist. I mean, and people are doing this weak lensing project from a variety of sites. However, it's quite difficult, and I think part of the problem is that you're trying to detect a slight shape change of a galaxy's image, but other things do the same process, not least of all the Earth's atmosphere.
That is correct. I mean, that's why I said before there are proposals for satellite missions to get rid of this distortion due to the Earth's atmosphere, but there's all kinds of other problems. The instrument itself, how the lens in the instrument behaves, you have to understand that fairly well to tickle out these signals. There might be also more astrophysical effects. For instance, if there's some astrophysics that the shapes of galaxies align on very large scales, you might mistake that for the intervening dark matter acting on the galaxy shapes. And there's a lot of work currently going into understanding the systematic problems of these surveys.
It's an exciting field of research, though, isn't it, really?
Yes.
I mean, I keep on thinking it's highly embarrassing that we really don't know how the universe is made up on large scales. I mean, dark matter, dark energy.
That's right. We don't know 95% of the universe, and that is why some people prefer rather to fiddle around with Einstein equations, and they claim you can get away with 5%, which is in the matter as we know it. I'm a bit skeptical that you can explain away dark matter, but with dark energy at the moment we know so little, we should be completely open-minded also with regard how we design these future surveys. We shouldn't just target them to one possibility.
Mm. Let's go back to those two controversial theories. You mentioned one was fiddling with Einstein's equations. The other one was postulating that we live in a special part of the universe, and that contradicts a fairly strong assumption that everybody wants to maintain, which is we should not consider our own position in the universe as being anything special.
That is correct, but to some extent that shows you how desperate theorists are getting, because this fine-tuning problem I mentioned initially with this 120 orders of magnitude is something they really don't like. So I'm a bit suspicious that you might exchange one fine-tuning problem with another one, that you need to live in a special place in the universe. But I think at the moment it's certainly valid that people look into these theories and see what their observational signatures might be, and quite possibly they might be ruled out fairly quickly.
Thank you very much indeed for taking the time to talk to us.
No problem. I enjoyed it, yeah.